Boker Tov, world. We'll have to be Mavater on this morning's Brucey's greeting because he's having some tests. Sort. We wish him a happy day. So Boker Tov, world. Today's Daf in Masechet Zvachim is Daf Ayin Chet, and we're holding at the Halakha Commission at the bottom of Ayin Zayin Amud Beit. We're getting into some really serious fundamental questions today about the way in which we're mevatel things, and, all the various types of bittul, differences between min b'minai and min b'she'inai minai, and what falls in first, and what falls into what, and the questions of how dichui relates to the dinim of mitzvahs and to kachim, and so on. So let us begin today's Halakha Mishnah, keeping an open mind to all of the fascinating issues which are to come. We've been talking about avarim and animals. What about liquids? What about dam? Now, this, of course, is a completely different issue because where you're talking about solid pieces, you know that you have a complete thing, which is usser. And now the question is, which one is it? So there you get into not only the questions of bittul, but also kol deparish b'ruba kaparish. But where you're talking a mixture of what is known as lach b'lach, as opposed to yavesh b'yavesh, in lach b'lach we have an actual mixture. And now the question is, how do we determine what the content of this mixture is? So, let's imagine a case where we've got blood that was meant to be put on the mizbeach, and now it got mixed up with water. So, how do we define what the kli sharis is holding? Can we put it on the mizbeach? About it if it looks like blood? I mean, a little bit of blood and water is enough to already start a discoloration. You don't need a rove of blood in order to make things look really bloody. So at what point is it considered to be bottle? So interestingly enough, when it comes to a mixture of lach b'lach, in yesh bo mar'it dam kasher. So even though there may be more water than blood, and you'd think that, okay, if you go according to the rove, so then the most is water. You can't use this blood. But the point is that as long as you can still see that blood, the blood is not bottle. And as far as, how do I have a right to put water on the mizbeach? I'm not putting water on the mizbeach. That's like a neda miskavin. My entire machshava, of course, is the zrikas hadam. So even though we said before that you can't put on the things that are usser to be put on, even though they're being called fuel, you're pretending that you're being malayit as eitzim, but in this case, there is not even any kind of presence to this mayim at all. It's not that it's kodesh and it's not supposed to be on the mizbeach, so we just simply ignore it. Therefore, you'll be able to use that blood. So this introduces a new idea. We haven't spoken about this concept before, about its recognizability, and therefore the concept of bittul not being applicable, because in essence, I still see the dam that I'm trying, in this case, to bring, and how could it be bittul if it's still very evident to me? Now, what about, however, if that blood gets mixed up, not with water, but suppose it gets mixed up with a behema of chulin? Or it gets mixed up with something that is not shayach even to be kadosh in a mizbeach, namely a chaya. What's the din there? There's no way for me to know and to identify what I'm looking at. Am I looking at the dam of that thing or of that thing? What's the halacha in that case? Well, the Tanakhama says the halacha is to actually be ro'in. Ro'in means let's pretend. Let's pretend that that dam were water. Now, if that dam were water, would the kosher dam for the mizbeach be sufficient to have so colored that water as to make it look like dam, and therefore it would be the same as the case of the dam shenisarid b'mayim being kosher? So then it's kosher. If, however, there would have been so much water that it would have been mevato the mar'it hadam, And then it wouldn't have looked like real blood. It would have just looked like water that blood fell into. So in that case, even if it's not water, and its wine is thicker than water, but nonetheless, the din is that we look at it and determine the extent of the mixture by using the concept of ro'im. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, forget the question of whether it's batal in the event that had it been mayim, it would have been actually enough to have wiped out the color of the blood. That's irrelevant. Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that min b'minay is not batal. I hope that Gavi's getting all of these different things over here. The idea of ro'in as a concept, the idea of min b'minay eno batal. So it makes absolutely no difference because bitl, think about it. I mean, bitl means that it's as if the thing is no longer here because it's no longer detectable in the other thing. If the two items are precisely the same material, in what sense is one bottle in the other? Why should we be rowing? Why don't we say that even a tiny drop of the kosher dam can be put on the Mizbeach because it didn't go anywhere. It wasn't wiped out by the other dam. And this whole idea of bittul berov is only where there's two different substances. But if it's the same substance, then actually the other dam, it really gives more strength to that first dam because it means I definitely see blood here and I know that some of the blood I'm looking at is the blood that is kosher. So on the contrary, it will never be bottle. So we've got two different approaches over here. Do we say it's bottle, but the way to determine how much is not by rove, but is by roin? Would it have been recognizable? Or do we say, min b'mino is bichlal, not batal, as Rabbi Yehuda says? How about if nit'arev b'dam pisulim? What about then? Until now, we've been talking about something that isn't osur on the Mizbeach. It's just not roi for the Mizbeach. But how about if it's something which is actually osur? How about if it's pigal? How about if it's dam rovea v'nirva? So in cases like that, yishafech la'ama, pour it out into the ama pipe, which was the drain that actually went through the entire chatzar of the Mishkan and went through the entire azara here. And that took it out to Nachal Kidron. And as you'll recall, anything that was a normal dam that was thrown out of Nachal Kidron was actually sold to people for use as fertilizer, and Hegdash actually made money on it. So therefore, what you should do is wait till it all becomes pasul, and that would be when it certainly is nosar, and then you should throw it out. Okay, and this would be true even in the event that the rove is actually kosher, and that because in this case, even if you hold that min b'mino, you don't hold the Rabbi Yehuda, hold min b'mino is batal, we're going to see in the Gemara, the Rabbanan made a gezeira in these cases where the dam is pasul, that you're not allowed to use it as all. We'll see why that's true as we get to the gezeira. Here too, Rabbi Eliezer says that actually it's kosher. And there we'll see why Rabbi Eliezer does not hold of the gezeira. He holds we can go according to the rov. This is, again, that machlokes of what the gezeira is, why Rabbi Eliezer's machshir, we'll speak about in the Gemara. How about if the kohen didn't ask anybody what to do and he went ahead and he put the mixture onto the mizbeach? Well, since, as we just saw, it's only a gezeira, if it were done, then of course it's kosher. The Rabbanan are not going to pasul a carbon that has already been kosher. So now, looking at the ratio, if you could see the dam, you could put it on the Mizbeach, is what we said, and we don't care about the wood. Omer Rabbi Chiya bar Ava, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, well, actually, it depends what falls into what. Because if the water falls into the dam, yes, then that's the din. The din is in, as the Mishnah said. But suppose the blood falls slowly into the water, and it's dripping into the water. in that case, if it didn't fall all at once, each drop that falls in at the time that it fell in completely disappeared in the water until it reached a certain critical amount of Dom where the water started turning the color of blood. But the thing is that each Dom that fell in became Batal when it fell in, and at that point, it's all going to become the din of water. So even where it turns color, you're not looking at dam that is kosher anymore. You're looking at dam that was nitcha from the Mizbeach because of the fact that it became essentially water. Why is that true? Because of dichoy, of course. Once the dam was pasul from the Mizbeach because it was no longer dam and it was batal in the water, the fact that it turns back red again doesn't bring it back to be kosher. Because kivan shehutcha, hutcha, once it was pushed away from the Mizbeach, it remains asur on the Mizbeach. Omer of Papa. That's true if you're talking about kachim. But suppose you're talking about dichui in terms of a mitzvah. For instance, in order to be mekayim, the mitzvah of shechita properly on chayev ha'ov, as you will recall, there's a din of kisui hadam. So the dam has to be covered after the shechita. How about if water fell into that dam and was mevatel it? So it should be the same halacha, you would think, and that if the blood gradually had drained drop by drop into a puddle of water, then there would be no way for us to be mekayim the mitzvah of kisui hadam, even when it turned red again because there was so many drops. Because of dichui. Ah, says Rav Papa. But when it comes to a mitzvah, ein dichui b'mitzvahs. Another kavi concept, beep, ein dichui b'mitzvot. And therefore, even though it was the color of water, as it gradually turns red, the moment it crosses that threshold and is recognizably dam, you could be mekayim the mitzvah of kisui hadam on it. Omer Resh Lakish. Fascinating halacha that ends up being involved in many, many details. Therefore, it's an information-rich psak that Resh Lakish gives us here. Suppose somebody mixed pigol and noser or tomei, and you've got two different things, different isurim. Each one of those things is as usher as the other, and the person eats the mixture. Surprisingly, says Resh Lakish, even though you definitely ate iser, you're putter. What? Yes, I'll tell you why. Because when you start chewing this mixture, what happens? You mix some of the meat, which is pigo, with the meat that is notar, let's say, right? Now, as you mix it, let's take your first bite. Some of that meat, and you're talking about here a case in which there's precisely a one kezias of pigol and one kezias of nota. Okay, let's say. So now the moment that you bite into it, one of the mixture that your teeth have created by pressing one into the other is going to be mostly pigol and the noser is batal, or it's going to be mostly noser and the pigol is batal. But there's no way that it could be precisely one or the other. And therefore, I don't know which one it is, but I know that one of those kizesim is no longer what it was because it's become batal in the other one. Now, when I have to tell the person, don't swallow that! Whoa, 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 whoa. You're going to be chayev malchus. Why? I'm not sure. Well, that's called hatra'at safek. And you can't tell someone, don't do that because I'm not sure. So since it's a hatra'at safek, says Resh Lakish, the very fact that you had a kezias of a mixture, curious halacha, right, makes it that you can't be chayev. And so you've got double the trouble, but only half the Malkus, so to speak. You're not going to be chayiv at all. Why is that? E efshar, shelo yirbe mina chaviro, v'yevatlenu. It's impossible that there wasn't slightly more of one than the other. and that would have been Bevato, the Kezias of the one, into the other. It will now be Bato. Now, that means that there's three principles that this is based on. Shma Min HaTlat. First of all, we end up with a very important Gavi concept from Resh Lakish, namely, A, Isurin or Mevatlim Ze Et Ze. You might have thought that when we're talking about two different Isurin, they're not going to be Mevato one another. I mean, they're both Usur, so that's the most important thing, right? So if they're both Usur, they just add to each other's problem. But that's not true. It's the actual identity of an item that the din of bittul involves. And therefore, if one is pigel and one is noser, then they are going to be mevatel one another, just as if one was kosher and one was not kosher. Wow. Okay. Now, another thing that you learn. We have this concept that everybody's well aware of. Let's say things are bottle b'shishim, right? Okay. Now, assuming, and this is what we are assuming at this point, is that when Reish Lakish talks about a case over year of Nosar in Pigel, he's not talking about the same kind of thing. He's talking about, let's say, one of them is Nosar from a Mincha, and the other one is Pigel from a Behema. So they're detectable, not delectable, but detectable tastes. And therefore, it's min b'she'eno mino. So what we're talking about over here is that, assuming that they're two different items, I mean, obviously, there's still going to be the question of no Saint Tom. That din of no Saint Tom is popularly called bato b'shishin, right? Because the normal taste, if you can't taste it, because it might be usser, so you're not allowed to taste it, so we go according to a standard. Normally, tastes are imparted in a mixture of 1 to 60. Now, obviously, there are cases like Tavlin where the tastes are more chazak, and they're not going to be bottle position. But the idea of no ten tam, that no ten tam is usser, can't be a diorita. Because if no ten tam would be a diorita, so then why wouldn't you get malchus? I'm definitely going to be tasting the taste of the iser, even if one of them was more actual volume, right? So why wouldn't I be chayev malchus? Because the guy could say, don't eat that. You'll be chayev because of nosa. And you'll say, no, how do you know there's a kezias and nosa? I don't care if there's a kezias or nosa. You're going to be tasting that nosa when you chew the meat that's mixed with the mincha. And therefore, that should be enough to be mechayev of you, but it isn't. Must be that even though there's a din of tam is also keiser, it's not a diraisa and it's only a dirabon. That's the second thing that we derive from here. Of course, we can't really prove that, as we'll see, because we're making the assumption that the taste is detectable. Ushma mina, and the other thing is hatra'at safek, lav shma hatra'a. Because since the whole thing is based on the fact that I can't tell you exactly why you'll be chayev the malchus, and I'm saying, well, I don't really know, so then you won't get malchus, because I cannot tell you for sure what you're going to be chayev for. And that's called hatra'at safek. So now, that second diak that we made was a little bit iffy, remember, because it was based on an assumption. It was based on the assumption that we're talking about two different things here and that you would be able to detect the taste. So let's think about that second diak, which is that tam in a rove is not the horizon. That if you've got a rove of heter, even though I taste the iser, although the rabbonin say I'm not allowed to eat it, that's a rabbonin, not a diorita. But what are we going to do about the Mishnah in Masechet Challah? The Mishnah Masechet Challah talks about a case where somebody made dough and he mixed rice and wheat together in order to make this dough. So now the question is it a grain, which is chayev in taking off challah, or is it actually mostly the rice? And rice is not chayev in chala. It's not a min of dagan. It's only if it's the chameshes mine dagan that you take chala from. So the din is, if it tastes like dagan, it says in the Mishnah, it is chayev in chala, even though it's mostly rice. But why don't we say that you're potter from chala because midya raisa, it's batel berov? We do, says the Gemara. Maybe that only means you're chayev in chala midrabanan. I knew you would say that, but it's not possible. Because read on, my friend, and you'll see that we're talking about a d'oraisa, not a d'rabbanan. Because the Mishnah goes on to say, Adam yotzei bar yedei chovato bepesach. Uh-oh. You can actually eat this matzah, which may be partially and only partially matzah, because it's mostly orez. And anyway, it says over here, you're going to be yotzei your matzah. Problem is that matzah can only be made from something that theoretically could be chometz, because the Torah compares it to. And if this is mostly rice, rice cannot become chometz, because it's not one of the minei dagan that becomes chometz. It only gets spoiled, essentially, when it ferments, but that's not called chometz. So that what does that mean? It means that even midya raisa, I'm relying on the fact that this thing tastes like wheat, and I'm going to be yotzei my chiyuv of matzah, even though it's mostly rice. So you see from there the opposite of what you concluded in Reish Lakish. You see from there that actually the taste is a d'oraisa raisa, and you could be sumech on it to eat your matzah. So how could you have said the second out of the three things that supposedly you learned out from Reish Lakish, namely that tam is not enough to override the bitul berov unless it's just been rabbanan, we see here that that's not true. You're right, says the Gemara. I take it back. Ella, Reish Lakish wasn't discussing a case where you could taste the difference. If it would have been what we thought, amin b'she'eino mino, so let's say it would have been noser of amincha in pigel of meat, you're right. But that's not what we were talking about. Amin b'she'eino mino, Reish Lakish would have agreed, would have gone according to its taste. But what he was talking about is amin b'mino. And amin b'mino, indeed, if it's two of the same type of things, we take a look at what the majority is. If the rov is chita, as the case over here, then you can be go according to chita of the kosher chita. If the rov is not kosher chita, then it's not kosher. But ain't a chinami. If it's talking about two different tastes, there you would go according to what it tastes like. Okay, so that seems to be now the way that Reish Lakish is understanding everything. There's a difference between b'mina and a din of min b'she'inoy minay. And what's more, we have the general halacha, three different dinim, that sasra suffik lav shmahasra, and also that even iser can be mevato iser. So now we've got a list of things. Iser is mevato iser. The din is that suffik hasra is not hasra. Min b'she'ino mino goes according to the flavor of a thing, and min b'mino goes according to the rov. That's where we're holding so far. Let's see whether that holds water or blood. Asks the Gemara, nisha'er min b'mino ki min b'she'ino mino. Now here is the reason that we brought this up in our Mishnah in the first place. Because our Mishnah introduces this new concept of ro'im. We pretend that the thing that is not detectable, it would be something that if it were a different species that would be detectable, so we actually rely on that. And we say that's enough of a basis. But wait a minute. The same thing could be said about taste as is said about detecting it through its color, right? We said, let's pretend that something is something else. Well, let's take a look at this. Because our Mishnah seems to say the opposite of what Reish Lakish says. Nisha'er min b'minai b'mikamin b'she'eno mina. Why don't we actually figure what would be if this were something else that were detectable? And let's say, if the noser would have been the noser of a mincha, would I have been able to taste the meat in it or not? Why don't we do that? Why do we just say that if it's a min bimina, that it has to be berov? Because look at our Mishnah. That's what we do in our Mishnah. We don't go according to the rov. We go according to a pretense called roin. Let's pretend it's something else and then see whether we could detect it. So what does it say in our Mishnah? If the blood, instead of the ratio where it got mixed with water, it ends up getting mixed with wine. So now it's the same color and we can't figure out which is which. Do we say, let's go according to rov? I mean, that's what you would have thought, according to what Rish Lakish was just saying. But the Mishnah doesn't say go according to rov. The Mishnah says, what would be in the event that that wine was actually water? Because it says, ro'ino toki ilu humayim. Why don't we do the same thing over here? Let's think, what would be if this other piece of meat were actually a mincha? And it wasn't meat. Would I be able to detect the taste of the pigle in the noser that was a mincha? Why don't you do that? And then make every min b'mino a roin of min b'she'eno mino and decide whether it would theoretically have been detectable were it a different material. And I mean, assuming that that's what the Mishnah means, roin to the yayin kilu humayin. Let's pretend that the wine that fell into the blood is water, and then we'll see if it would be enough to get rid of the color of the blood. So here too we should say, let's look at the meat as if it were a mincha and see if it's enough to be mevatel the taste of the meat, right? Of the other meat. Well, maybe not, says the Gemara. Maybe you have a wrong view of the Mishnah. Maybe what the Mishnah means is, let's take a look at the blood as if the blood is water. And that is saying that that would mean, since we can't see its color, we will definitely be mevatelit by a simple rov. And a rov will be mevatel adam. You won't be able to use it at all. No. Come on. If all you're trying to say is that if there's a rov, it's batel, then just say so, for heaven's sakes. Why would, what a crazy way to say a halacha like that. Well, treat it as if it was water. I mean, you know, what would you do for water? You'd be mevatel et berov. I mean, just say, it's batel. Why say it in such a nutty way? Not to mention the fact that the Braita spells out that the meaning of the Mishnah is clearly that we look at the blood as if it's water, not at the wine. That's silly. Take a look at the Braita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. We look, and the Braita was talking about a case where, let's say, white wine was in a bucket, and we want to know whether it's enough to change the, would it be noticeable in the mikvah water? It's talking, the case over there is talking about, as we're going to be getting to, it's talking about a bucket is full of, let's say, white wine. And now you want to be, put that bucket into a mikvah. Now you cannot make wine tahor, and you cannot add wine to a mikvah to be part of the mikvah. So the problem is the wine that's inside of the bucket, if the bucket is tummy and needs to be put into the mikveh, is going to be a chatzitza. So now the question is, at what point would there be enough mikveh water going into the bucket that would allow all of that wine to be batel anyway to the water, and then it would be a kosher tefillah? That was the question that we discuss in this braisa. And therefore, since we're talking about a different color, so Rabbi Yehuda says, look, treat the wine as if it was red, not white wine. And if by putting it into the mikveh, there would have been so much mikveh water that it would no longer, compared to the wine, relative to the wine, it would no longer have looked like wine. So then the tefillah is a kosher tefillah. V'im lav, but if not, it's a posel tefillah. So you see from there that what we're looking at is exactly the idea of our Mishnah, and it's talking about looking at the problem thing as if it's a different color so that you can then tell it's not just a way to say that something is batal. So the way we understood the Mishnah is absolutely correct. The Mishnah is saying, let us actually view it, rowing, as if it's something else, and that way we can make a assessment as to whether the color would have been batal. So then why don't we say the same thing over here? Let's make an assessment as to whether the taste would have been batal. Color and taste are just different ways for us to be able to identify the substance that is going to be batal. So it doesn't make sense. What it was that Reish Lakish said violates the basic rule of our Mishnah. It does indeed. But that question of whether we say ro'in is a machlokas tanoim. Let me tell you over the braita that you've just been talking about, and you obviously don't realize the full extent of the braita. Here's the whole thing. The braita starts...
I'm sorry. I thought that ro'in were using the color to say that something is not what it really is, because I can view it differently, whereas in tam, I'm identifying what it really is.
No, that's exactly the same thing. Yes.
Exactly the same.
It's precisely the same. I can either detect the taste theoretically, if this would have been something that has a different taste, and it would have been min b'she'ena minai, in terms of its taste, and the same thing is true over here. If this would be something that weren't red wine, but was something else, it was white water, so then would I be able to detect the re'ia? Would I be able to detect the color? Color and taste are just different ways that our senses are able to be omed on the particular identity of the thing that is becoming batal. Right?
I thought here I'm using the red to say, even though it's white wine and this is blood, I'll call it red wine, which means I'm using the color to say what it isn't really. I'm giving it a different identity.
Yes.
And masking it as a real identity to the color.
It's exactly the same thing. Reish Lakish should agree that even though over here it's the same thing, it's not the same color, but it's the same taste, because one is meat and the other one is meat, we should pretend, what if it wouldn't be meat? What if it would have been a mincha? And then I'd be able to taste the meat in the mincha. So you see that he seems to ignore our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says you can't just look at a rove. You have to look at what would have been had it been detectable. Clear? You're muted. Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So, we've got this idea, this rule in our Mishnah, that we don't look at the actual situation. We look at the theoretical situation, so that in a case that our instruments wouldn't be blinded by something, would we be able to detect it or not? Whether that instrument is our cameras or whether that instrument is our chemical analysis is exactly the same thing. And therefore, here too, if we could see it and the color is detectable, theoretically, we could have seen it if it wouldn't have been that the instrument is blinded by a filter that looks the same way. Or if we could chemically detect it by its taste, theoretically, even though right now it's blinded by the fact that it's got something there that prevents us from tasting it, we can't particularly identify it. Let's look at the theory. That's the question. And Reish Lakish, he goes right ahead and blithely says, no, in that case, you'd go according to the rove. Why would we go according to the rove? Why wouldn't we do what the Mishnah says? Look at the possibility, the theoretical possibilities of detection. And that's what's important. Says the Gemara, you're 100% right. Indeed, Reish Lakish is not going according to the Mishnah. And Reish Lakish is not going according to the Braita so far as we've seen it, but it's a machlokas tanaim. Because look at the whole Braita, okay? The Braita begins like this. You've got a bucket that has become tummy. You need to be tevel it. And it has white wine or it has milk in it, and you were tevel it in the mikveh. Problem is that liquid has nowhere to go when the water is coming into it. And therefore, it stays in the way between the hashaka. And remember that we're dealing with the concept of hashaka here, not tfila. Let me explain. Can you put a piece of meat that's tame into a mikveh and make it tohar? No. And food stuff, drink, cannot become tohar in a mikveh. But what you can do if it's a liquid, if it's water that's tummy, you can simply touch that water, kiss that water is the word that's used, kiss the surface of the water to the mikvah, and now it simply becomes part of the mikvah. Not that you were tovel it, but that it no longer is the water that's tummy, it's actually mikvah water. However, wine cannot become mikvah water. So what happens if there's wine in the bucket, and now the mikvah water is not going to be contacting the bucket? It's actually going to be blocked by the presence of another liquid that doesn't allow for tefillah. That's our problem. Either it's milk or it's, but it's something that is basically not detectable in water because it's going to end up looking the same. So the deal is over there. We go according to the rove. That means if most of the capacity of the dli is going to be filled with mikvah water, then it's a kosher tefillah. If most of it is going to be filled with milk or with white wine, it's not a kosher tefillah. That's exactly what Reish Lakish said. Reish Lakish said, just go according to rove if it's not detectable. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, we create a theoretical situation in which we ask ourselves, would it have been detectable if the coloration was detectable? So what we do is we say, okay, what if that white wine was red wine? Or what if that milk was red wine? Would it have been still detectable? When we say detectable, we mean detectable as wine, not detectable as red coloration. Would it be detectable as wine in the mikvah water? So then even if rove of what's in that bucket is mikvah water, it's not going to be a kosher tefillah because this is wine and it's in the way of the mikvah water. Im de'a mareya kasher, v'im lav pasul. So it all is a question of ruin. There you go. So we have a machlokas here between the Tanakama of this Braita and Rabbi Yehuda. Do we follow this principle of ruin, which means we take the theoretical possibility of this of detection, and that is what defines the bittul, or do we look at the actual detection? Is it detectable or is it not detectable? Why would we talk about what if it were wine? Who the heck cares? It isn't. It's milk. And therefore, this is the basis of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was going not according to Rabbi Yehuda, he was going according to the Tanakhama of this Braita that says, Olchin achar harov. So you look at a simple rov. Beautiful. So we now understand that we have this fundamental machlokas about whether it's the actuality of detection that matters or whether it's the proportionality of a theoretical detection that matters. Asks the Gemara, what about the actual mikveh in mikvahs? The Mishnah in Mikvahs, which is there, it's talking about these dinim, and it says like this. If you have a tummy bucket, and somebody spit, this is a spittoon, and the spittoon is obviously tummy. Maybe you have people that were zovim, and they spit into it. So it's full of spit, and you put it into a mikvah. You might as well forget it, buddy, because the water never touched the bucket. You're not going to wash off thick spittle with putting something into a mikvah. And therefore, ki'ilu lo taval, there's nothing to even talk about over here because it was a chatzitza. What about if it's a chamber pot and it's full of urine? Then, ro'ino to ki'ilu hein mayim. If it's full of urine, the urine is not considered to be not water, as we saw. Urine is considered to be a type of water. And therefore, it would be kosher because of hashaka, not because of roin. Okay, this is an important point. The Gemara is going to be treating the idea of the roin otoki iluhein mayim as if what it meant is it's a theoretical consideration as to whether we treat it as if it were water and the slight discoloration of urine as opposed to water, if it would be bottle. But it's obviously not dependent in that. And it simply means here, ro'ino tokilu humayim, it's the same as water. The reason that the Gemara is making this diak is because of the strange way of stating ro'ino tokilo ein mayim, when what you really mean is that it is water. It's just urine water, but that's called water. And the only reason we would use a word that is so silly as ro'ino tokilo ein mayim is to tell me that this is going according to Rebbe Yehuda. That's essentially what we're going to be seeing this as. Now, suppose this bucket is filled with mechatas. So mechatas, remember, is the special water that was originally Mayim Chayim El Keli, and we put in the ashes from the Pora Aduma that had been burned into it. And now, it's very choshev amayim, extremely expensive. It's necessary to use for anybody who was tamei meis. And what's more, it is not only expensive, but it is tamei, because the mayim of the Pora Aduma is going to be metamei a person who moves it without the intent to use it for sprinkling on a tamei meis. So this was one of the contradictions of Pora Aduma, that it makes tahar things tamei and makes tamei things tahar. And that's what this case is referring to. I doubt that Alon's going to get any closer to that mechatas by punching in the values on his phone. And therefore, we should stick to the subject. So if it's mole mechatas, then you have to have more regular water than you have mechatas water, because you can't do hashaka on mechatas. First of all, it itself is an avatuma. So you do hashaka on something that became tamei, not on something that is tamei. But besides that, it is also so choshev that it's not going to be batal, because this stuff can cost $1,000 a shot, you know. So it's not going to be batal in the water that's coming in from the mikvah. Now, anyway, my main question is, who is the man d'amar that we're talking about over here? It says, you go according to rov. If it's mole mechatas, whatever the rov is. Now, who is the man d'amar that stated this braita? Well, look at the crazy words, ro'ino toki ilohein mayim, which is a meaningless statement, because it's not ro'ino to, it's that's the fact. It is mayim. The reason that we're using those words is to tell me that this is going aliba to Rebbe Yehuda. But what does it say? It says rov. But rov? I thought Rebbe Yehuda was Dafka the one who said roin. So how can he say it goes according to rov? Why doesn't he say, let's view that water as if it was wine, and we'll see whether there's enough of the mikvah water to be mevato the wine? Why does he say we go according to a simple rov? So now even Rebbe Yehuda is mixed up. Here Rebbe Yehuda is saying what Reish Lakish says. And yet we said that Reish Lakish Dafka was arguing because he was going like the Tanakama of the Braita against Rebbe Yehuda, which was the mocker of the halacha in our Mishnah. So how did Rebbe Yehuda get caught saying the same thing that would have been said by those who argue on the Mishnah? So man shamat by the itlay roin. It's bedafka Rebbe Yehuda. And here it's saying that it's enough rov. Why should it be enough rov? Why don't we say, let's take a look at the chatas, the mechatas, look at it as if it was nice, deep red wine, and now decide whether it would have been detectable or not. So now Rebbe Yehuda's changed his mind? What's going on? Omar Abaye. It's not a problem, because the truth is that the Mishnah, which says you go only according to the rov, the Mishnah in Mikvaot, that is indeed Rebbe Yehuda's personal svara. He doesn't hold of roin himself. And that's therefore what's gufa, what's coming to tell me. Masha Enkin, what we said before, that let's look at the white wine or the milk as if it's red wine, that was going according to his Rebbe, Rebbe Gamliel. And you see that clearly in the Braita, the Tanya. Rebbe Yehuda Omer Mishum Rebbe Gamliel. What Rebbe Yehuda was saying before was that it's Dafke, his Rebbe, that's the one that's Machmir on the Inyanim of Bittel. It was his Rebbe had said that Ein Dam Mevatel Dam, so that you could still be Zurich. It doesn't matter how much other Dam there is. It doesn't matter, Legabi, the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, how much other Dam there is. Ein Rok Mevatel Rok, if you've got a lot of Rok spit from a Tahar person, it doesn't matter if you got a 10,000 Tahar people that spit into the spittoon and one Zav, it's not going to be Batel, and it's therefore going to remain Tameh. And Ein Meraglayim, Mivatli Meraglayim. Doesn't matter how many Tohar people have urinated into this chamber pot. If there's any urine at all of a Zav, it's going to be Tummy. So therefore, it's Rebbe Gamliel who's the one that says this big chumra, that Min B'minai is never Bato. So it's him probably as well, who's Machmer on the din of Bito, in terms of rowing. Rowing is a tremendous chumra. Instead of going according to the rov, we pretend that we have something that's detectable, even if it would have been a rov, but it isn't. Doesn't matter. It theoretically could have been. That's Rebbe Gamliel who holds of rowing. Rebbe Yehuda, when he was talking before, he was going a little bit of Rebbe Gamliel. But personally, Rebbe Yehuda himself doesn't hold of rowing. Okay, that is a daf that has just been introducing a tremendous number of new issues. Up until now, we've been talking about yovesh b'yovesh, chatichot b'chatichot, animals, rings, whatever it is, in other similar things. Here, we've introduced the concept of min b'minay and min b'she'ino mino. Here, we've introduced the concept of isurim mevatlim, elu esevo, or zed zed. Here, we've introduced agav, the concept of the din, shouldn't say introduced, we're well aware of this one, of Hasra Safek, that it's Lav Shema Hasra, but here we've introduced a tremendously fundamental machlokas about whether Bittel Berov is overruled by not only the detectability of a thing through its taste or through its coloration, where even though it was Bittel Berov, it remains usher because it's detectable, but even the theoretical detectability, had it been a different color, had it been a different taste, would I have been able to detect it in this proportion? That turns out to be a machlokas between Rebbe Gamliel and his Talmud, Rebbe Yehuda, and among the Amoraim, it turns out to be the focus of Reish Lakish's point of view, and it's the difference between the way our Mishnah talks about, in which we're supposed to be roying that which is coming to be mevatel, the dam, as if it were water, which, you know, in a sense, it's the opposite way, because we want to see whether the dam is detectable in the water, not whether the water is detectable in the dam. But, you know, we made sure that that's what the Mishnah meant. And the question of whether we should just take a simple rove to be the way to determine whether something is kosher. So this is fantastic. We have like really expanded our repertoire here. And Bezrat Hashem, look forward to continuing all types of new issues to get Richie even more confused than he is, so that at the end he comes out being smelling fresh as a rose and clear as a sunny day.